Going In Raw is now a CastBox original. CastBox is the fastest-growing, highest-rated podcast app on both iOS and Android, where you can find all your favorite podcasts. You can still listen to Going In Raw wherever you get your podcasts, but we hope you'll give CastBox a shot. We think it's the best.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you'll be listening to right here at youtube.com/ Steve and Larson. We're also available wherever fine podcasts are, including CastBox. We now have a partnership with CastBox. It's still available. So we have some, like, so we switched our servers for the podcast.
Yeah.
For the podcast, for the CastBox partnership. And so, like, in the very, very short term, there are still a couple of distribution outlets that still need to update.
Yeah, and we're working on it.
Yeah, and we're working on that. So I know, like, I think Spotify was being a little slow.
Google Play is waiting to be updated.
Within a couple days, everything will be back to normal.
Yes.
We apologize for the glitches.
Yes.
Always happens when we change stuff. Anytime we try to change something, anytime we try to make our lives better, you know, it's always a hiccup.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways.
We're working on it. We'll get it worked out.
Yeah, anyways. In the meantime, try CastBox. It's a great podcast.
Yes.
It's fantastic. We're also available on Patreon at patreon.com/ Stephen Larson. Another great way to support Going In Raw. We got 57 friendos right now. We're trying to put together a Fortnite or GTA 5 friendo server.
I just really want to get back to just using sticky bombs on everything.
Yeah, GTA 5 was a lot of fun. It just became really expensive to play.
Oh, I know.
That was a pain in the butt. But that maybe that's what Super Chat's for. Like when we get Super Chat, it could be sticky bomb chat.
All right.
No, that's a terrible idea. Anyways.
Use a Super Chat for shark cards. Use shark cards.
That's so bad.
For sticky bombs.
That's awful. That's awful. Yeah, no homes. No fancy cars. You could steal cars. Can't steal sticky bombs.
No, you can't. You have to buy those.
Right, exactly. So that should be a lot of fun. Anyways. We're also available.
Oh, I had an idea. Hmm. Kind of dovetailing with that. But
oh, I like your ideas.
GTA 5.
Okay.
I was thinking we're going to try to stream the entirety of WrestleMania. All the pre-show and all the actual show, right?
Not the actual. Hold on a second. We're not streaming WrestleMania.
Sorry, our live reactions. But here's what I was thinking.
Correct.
Since there's a lot of talking on pre-show.
Yeah.
And we don't want to do reaction to people just talking. Let's bust out Virtual Pro Wrestling 64.
Oh, cool.
When there's not a match happening during the pre-show, we'll switch over to that. I'll whoop your butt with Minoru Suzuki in the game, and we can have some fun with that.
As long as you're... Look, man, I don't want to be bummed out like before Mania even starts. So if I'm getting my ass whooped too hardcore, we got to switch over to another game to give me a better shot. Because for some reason, yeah, I was eating ass on virtual
It's Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah, I know.
You can't help it.
Yeah. It was rough because I won the first couple matches.
Yeah, and then I switched over to Suzuki and you got destroyed.
Suzuki and it was like,
you couldn't win anything.
I was like a young boy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Anyways, no, that sounds like fun. Yeah, we can do it. It's our show. We can do what we want.
All right.
So that's great. We're also ring. What are we doing?
What?
What are also?
Pro wrestling
tees. Oh, yeah. Look, we got. Oh, look. Hold on. Friendo care package. I'm going to spend all day tomorrow.
There you go.
Putting these, I have like a ton of these that still have to go out. Like a lot of them are actually packaged together. You got a comic, some stickers, and a poster. You have to decide between
Top Notch is the right answer.
And Mecha Santa is the
top
correct
notch
answer.
Top Notch is the right answer.
Anyways, Pro Wrestling Tees got a couple new, don't buy these.
Wait to see the WrestleMania sale.
Probably going
to
be a WrestleMania sale in like a week or two. So wait for that. There we go. Anyways, good stuff.
Good stuff. Awesome stuff. Best stuff.
Yeah.
What are we here to talk about? Oh, wrestling, right?
205 Live. We had like some stream issues for our pre-show that just completely, I was totally good and then that happened.
Yeah, it ruined your day.
And well, it didn't ruin my day, but now I'm off. So I might need you to like, you know, help me out a little bit, which I don't think you're really prepared to do. Your shirt's wrinkly as hell.
I know.
I noticed that when you came in.
I just pulled it out of my drawer. I don't fold my clothes.
You don't fold your clothes?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What kind of slob are you?
Apparently a great one because I take my clean shirts and just toss it in my
I can't really
dresser.
Talk crap because if you've seen my closet right now, it's horrible.
I hang up my hoodies and my pants. I hang those up, but t-shirts I just throw in my dresser.
It's always a massive
I don't fold my underwear or my socks either.
Lacey, like freaking, she every chance to run me down about my closet to other people, she does.
Yeah.
Always brings that up. They say, Lacey, what do you hate about Steve? And she's
people
like,
actually ask her that question?
Well, in my head, they do. You know, like she's out and about, and they're like, "Hey, aren't you Lacey from Ask Stephen Lacey?"
I kind of feel like then that you're imagining the whole thing. Like, do you think she really runs down your closet to other
people?
She's
done
just
it in
randomly?
Front of me a couple times.
Oh,
she loves running me down in front of my parents too. Yeah. Anyways, enough about my married life. We're here to talk about 205 Live.
Yeah.
What a great episode of 205
it was
Live.
A lot of fun.
Buddy Murphy needs new theme music.
Yeah, it's still a little too much dubstep.
You know whose theme music I hate? Mark Andrews.
Really? That's his band.
I know. I feel really bad saying it. But oh my God. And when he does the whole, like, it's all bad. We'll talk about that in a second when we get to the main event.
I actually kind of like all that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I hate it.
It seems genuine.
It does, but it's also so corny.
Yeah, that's fine. But it seems, as long as it's not like some put-on thing, if it's genuine, if that's him, it's his band. It's his. I think that's him singing.
Don't like it.
No, it's fine.
Don't like it. Oh, it's so annoying. He's so dorky. And also, his face reminds me of a guy that I know in real life. And that bugs me, too, because I'm like, you're not Jason.
This attitude is all
because... I look at him and I say, you're not Jason.
This attitude is all because the stream got weird.
No,
yes, it
is.
You're gonna be negative the whole stream.
No, I was thinking about it last night when I was watching 205 Live. I was like, this is some terrible, terrible music.
You got a Tranquilo, man.
Well, that's true. But it doesn't have anything to do with the stream. I had just forgot about the stream because I was talking about my hatred of Mark Andrews' theme song.
Oh.
And then you brought it back, so thanks for that.
No problem.
Anyways, yeah, so speaking of which, oh, cool, perfect. Mark Andrews versus Tony Nese was first.
Yeah, this is the classic story of a high flyer versus a stronger competitor.
Yeah.
Whether the high flyer could overcome the strength advantage of his opponent.
Tony Nese's freaking biceps are reaching Scott Steiner status. Those things are huge.
I mean, pretty much all of his muscles are massive.
They're like giant rocks in there. So anyways,
he's got some good
peaks. So he looks great. He came out. Here's the thing.
Use the term peaks and you know sold me.
Oh, sorry, my bad. What do you want me to say about that? You use peaks all the time now.
No,
you
I
come
don't.
Over, you're like, man, I had my workout done today. Oh, man. I'm in the middle of a cycle right now. So, you know, I'm going three times
that.
A day.
Never
and I'm
actually
like,
said that.
I'm like, buddy, steroids are terrible for you, man.
No, I agree
you're
with you.
You're violating the going in raw wellness
I
policy.
I would never use them.
So anyways, Mark Andrews comes out, looks like a jerk because of his theme song. So you're cool with this stuff?
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, I hate it.
I'm fine with it.
God, I hate it so much. And then Tony Nese comes out, and I love his theme song.
Yeah.
But you don't see him doing this crap.
Well, I wouldn't fit with his character.
Oh, it's so annoying. You're not doing your song right now. You're not, like, in a concert right now. Be a serious competitor.
He is a serious competitor. He won.
He luckily won.
Ah.
Luck. He's not going to win against Drew Gulak next week.
Yeah, probably not.
That's for sure.
Oh, he might.
Oh, I don't know. He might. I hope that's a program because
yeah,
I want to see like a million Mark Andrews, Drew Gulak matches.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, no, this is a fun match. Like you said, typical story of Mark Andrews, high flyer, doing all sorts of high flying stuff.
Or trying to do high flyer stuff while Tony Nese, the stronger competitor, is trying to ground him.
He was not just trying to ground him. He was trying to pound him too. He was trying to like beat him up.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool.
A lot of stiff shots, some elbows, some punches.
I do like, what do they call it? Stun Dog Millionaire.
Yeah.
He hit that and then got the Shooting Star Press.
Yeah. For the win.
Yeah.
Usually
so
Andrews
cool.
does the stun dog out of a suplex, but instead he did it out of Tony Nese's pump handle type move.
That's right. It was cool. It came out of nowhere. It was a fantastic match. Drake Maverick was on commentary the entire time, and Drew Gulak was in the back. They showed him awkwardly looking at the TV sideways, watching the match.
It's not a comfortable way to watch a show.
No, it isn't. And after the match, Mark Andrews goes up to Drake Maverick and says, give me Drew Gulak. And he says, all right, I've considered it. It's done. Next week, congratulations, you've got Drew Gulak. That was great. I like Drake Maverick because, number one, I love him. He's great. Rock stars, but also because whenever they introduce him, whenever he's sitting at commentary, he always looks like balls deep into the camera. Like his eyes just go.
Oh, I know. He's usually leaning forward too like this.
Yeah, exactly. He's like. And then eventually he takes his eyes off. But he always looks right at the camera. It's weird.
Yeah.
But it's great.
He's trying to engage the audience, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. Instead, he's staring into my soul. After that, Drew Gulak.
Was interviewed backstage.
Right, by Dasha.
And he's pretty much saying, you know, I make my opponents submit. And
he says it's not about the victory.
Yeah.
It's about submission. Having them quit.
Yeah.
Having them tap out.
And when I get you in my submission move, you will tap out. And they do this.
Yeah.
And then walked off.
But here's the smart thing about him. Drew Gulak also dropped this line, which is great. It's future-proofing his career.
Mm.
He said, I am the number one submission expert in the entire WWE. That's smart, because he's not just talking about being a cruiserweight. I know, I totally poked my eye just now. That's not just talking about being
your eyebrow, I thought.
It's not just, it was dangerously close to my lid. He's not just talking about being a cruiserweight. He's talking about being a submission expert.
Yes, and that translates to any weight division.
So he's ensuring he'll have a job.
Should 205 Live fold, is
Once
what you're saying.
205 Live fold.
No, should.
It was at number 11 this week in the
ring. Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. It bums
Probably
me
Probably
because
the tournament's over. Oh, no, that was last week's episode,
It was last week's episode. That was the Mustafa Ali-Drew Gulak match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
And it was not an impressive lineup of shows in advance, like before it. Bums me out, man.
Yeah, it does.
They need
out.
To figure out how to present the cruisers better, man. Look to New Japan.
Yeah.
Anyways.
After that, we had this great Cedric Alexander, Mustafa Ali interview.
For sure. that was awesome. You just set it up.
And I was thirsty.
Drink.
They established.
Oh, so you like this? You like
yeah.
this? You did?
I wish the setting was a bit more organic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my only qualm, but I think the actual back and forth was decent and sets up, you know, they set up early on. Yeah, we're friends. Yes, we respect each other. But at the same time, when it comes to this cruiserweight title, we got to put all that aside.
Mm-hmm.
And what does Mustafa say? I'm willing to stomp the heart of 205 Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That being Cedric, to get that belt. And Mustafa asked Cedric, what are you willing to do to make sure you win?
I liked the second half of this. It started off awkward, but I liked it. Here's kind of my thing, though. It's purely aesthetic, and it's so silly. But I really wish they would have gone with a tad more cinematic route with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know the cameras they used for the Triple H, Stephanie, Ronda
thing? Yeah, so there was some depth of field.
Yeah, that's kind of my... I think it would have added just some texture to it and some weight to it.
What if they had shot it like the Triple H, Stephanie thing and not had them on camera together?
Mm-hmm.
Just interview bits. And they more or less say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, intercut it with some, you know, like them prepping for the match. I love it. That would have been really awesome.
No, and I think that's my thing, is that... Especially Mustafa Ali on his own has been killing it with these promos.
Yeah.
And I really do like their opening recaps with the voiceover, because it kind of reminds me of the New Japan Strong,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if they had gone that exact route right there, that would have been, I think, in my opinion, more effective than mm-hmm. two guys kind of yucking it up at first. And it's like they're both giddy. They're happy to be there. I just feel like it doesn't, especially in the case of Cedric, it doesn't cater to what his strengths are as a promo guy, because he's not super strong, but that can be hidden under some production value.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody looks better with, like you said, depth of field with, you know, 24 frames, you know, the nerdy film stuff,
mm-hmm.
Some filters on it. Everybody looks cooler and it comes off with more weight.
Yeah.
And so when you have the presentation that we got, while I think they did a good job, it was the difference between watching like a cheesy stage play and like a movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I understand that.
So, but I thought, I'll put it this way. I did think that they were both strong in sort of the home stretch of the segment. I just thought it started off a little on the awkward side.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool. And I really I love how they're framing the story. I think that's great.
Yes. The heart versus the soul of 205
I think it's great.
Life.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic. Yeah. Next up, we had then we had our main event. It was
two matches, a couple interviews, and that's it. And they gave the matches a ton of time to breathe.
Kalisto versus Akira Tozawa versus TJP versus Buddy Murphy.
There's a couple of the more creative spots I think I've ever seen in this match.
This felt like a PWG match
in
some ways.
It did.
And I loved it, especially
TJP.
Yeah.
Some of that stuff was so great
where
he had two men in a submission.
Yeah, the first one where he had Tozawa in a death lock and then Kalisto was coming up and chopping him.
Yeah.
So he'd fall back and inflict more punishment on Tozawa.
I love that. I had never seen that. That was great.
And then he reversed one of Kalisto's moves into a Northern Light suplex.
Uh-huh.
And so while I did that, inflicted more punishment on Tozawa's leg. That was great. The other one, the gory special spot where TJP had, I don't remember who, probably Kalisto up in the gory special and then had Tozawa in like a pendulum type deal.
Mm-hmm,
that was awesome.
Yeah.
And then that spot where TJP had Kalisto up in a surfboard.
And then Buddy Murphy
slides in to pin TJP and then Tozawa goes for the senton off the top rope onto it to break up the pinfall.
It was
spectacular.
It was great. Here's the thing about Buddy Murphy, too. I really wish, number one, they'd stop billing him as from NXT because he needs to be in 205 Live.
Yes.
They need to take this win because he ended up getting the win. They need to take this win and make him officially 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
Enough of this. We never see him in NXT, so stop calling him that.
Yes.
He needs to be 205 Live. Buddy Murphy wrestles as if every single move, every single action that he does, he's getting paid for or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because every single thing he does screams to me, hungry to prove myself to everybody. And it's amazing to watch somebody who doesn't take anything, any move for granted. He launched himself over those ropes so many times with such reckless abandon. It was so exciting to watch. And the fluidity with which he executed his, what does he call it?
Murphy's Law.
Murphy's Law on TJP.
Oh, yeah.
It was so smooth and it was so much fun to watch. I cannot say enough about him. I can't say enough about this match.
We should talk a little bit about the good little story bits between Tozawa and Kalisto.
And Kalisto, that's right. The sort of simmering rivalry, which was primarily between Hideo Itami and Lince Dorado, has now spilled over into Akira Tozawa and Kalisto thanks to this match.
Yeah, and there was a couple instances where they had to work together to gain the upper hand, but at the end they'd always come back to fighting each other.
Uh-huh.
It was really good. Some good storytelling, some really creative spots. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun.
Oh, crap. Somebody's saying my mic.
Oh, I noticed your mic was popping a little bit yesterday or at the end of the match. Yeah. Just don't touch it.
Don't touch it.
Don't touch your mic.
Sorry. I will do this then.
Yeah.
Now I feel self-conscious about it. I wonder what my problem is. Oh, I guess all the touching that I'm doing right there, huh?
Yeah.
Anyways. Let's see here. What else now? That got me all derailed.
This isn't just not a good day for Steve.
I'm trying to be mellow, though. I'm in a good mood. I had a good breakfast.
What'd you have for breakfast today?
Same thing I had yesterday.
Oh,
I had two friggin', but I put some guacamole on it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was hella good.
Yeah, man.
But now I'm all flustered. People are saying my mic is off.
Right,
Hold on.
Let's take a deep breath. All right, I guess I'll do it. Next, we had NXT.
I did that just to spite you.
Next, NXT. Show starts with Tommaso Ciampa rolling up to Full Sail in a Ford. I don't know if it's a rental or the car he owns. Either way, he immediately finds William Regal and complains to him about Gargano going after him at Full Sail. At his home, in parking lots, and he's had enough. He wants to get rid of Johnny Gargano for good. And so Regal says to him, all right, you get a match against him at TakeOver, but since Gargano's not employed by NXT, it has to be unsanctioned.
I didn't watch any of the the little videos that they did of Gargano like attacking Ciampa. I wish they would have played some of those.
Yes.
During this is a goofy episode of NXT. Usually I love these episodes. But I felt the wrestling was way too slight on this.
Oh, because
with the exception of maybe the main event.
Look at my notes for 205 Live and look at the notes for NXT. They tried to jam way too much in this one episode.
Way too much. And like the announcements of the North American Championship stuff, the ladder match.
Broken up throughout the show.
Like six different segments of just.
I know, it's too much.
What's her name? Shoot, I forget her name.
That's Kathy Kelly.
Kathy Kelly roaming around backstage.
Well, I don't think she was really roaming around backstage. She was hanging out in front of Regal's office.
Yeah, just milling about. It was awkward.
I just wish it was a little more creative presentation than that anyways.
Yeah.
So Ciampa versus Gargano takeover, unsanctioned match. But Regal was clear to say that if Gargano... What?
Nothing. People are saying I'm about to explode.
That if Gargano wins, he is rehired. He gets his job back.
I'm just so used to touching the mic.
Well, stop touching it.
Yes, sir.
But if Ciampa wins, Gargano is banished from NXT forever.
But isn't he already? Okay, this one.
No, he just lost his job.
Oh.
Like, he can still buy a ticket and show up.
Oh.
But Regal said if he loses, he is banished. He cannot be anywhere near NXT. That's what I'm interpreting, because that's kind of my...
Okay, here's the problem.
That's what banished means, right?
The problem, though. Okay, look. This is going to be an amazing match.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Actually, this TakeOver card is stacked.
Oh, it is. Dude, when you look at the lineup for the ladder match, it's insane. Like, it's so bizarre alternate universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's like fantasy booking from 2K18.
I know.
Like, oh, let's find a bunch of creative characters. I'm going to make EC3 and put him in this thing. Oh, you're ridiculous. No, he's in it.
No, he actually signed, yeah.
So, the silly thing is, though, Regal can't stop Gargano from going to Ciampa's house. Why does Gargano, like, that's not going to stop. If he's banished from NXT, did he ever think he had a chance at getting re-signed?
Why doesn't Ciampa file a restraining order or something?
Why is he going to Regal if a guy's showing up at his house at 3 a.m.?
Yeah, no, he should go to the cops.
Anybody shows up at my house 3 a.m., I don't care if your intentions are good or not. I'm calling the cops and maybe getting a gun.
All right.
Because that's the thing. They
you face. Shouldn't have a gun, though.
Oh, I definitely should not have a gun.
No.
No, terrible idea. Anyways.
After that, Regal makes his way inside Full Sail and makes, as they were clear to say several times, a groundbreaking announcement.
Yeah.
This announcement, mid-card title in NXT, the North American title.
He didn't call it a mid-card.
No, he did, but that's what it is.
That's what it is. Okay, I'm just touching my mic one time. So, yeah, we get a mid-card title, the North American Championship. So he announces that, and out comes the one percenter, EC3. He comes out and he's got his, what do you think of his song?
It's all right.
I'll get used to it.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
It's okay.
Is it in your eyes too literal?
No.
He seems to like it quite a bit.
I feel like the whole 1%, whole one percenter gimmick he's kind of adopting was probably inspired by the song and not vice versa. Sort of like Bobby Roode. They gave him the glorious song and he's like, okay, I can work this into what I'm doing anyway. I kind of feel like maybe that's the thing with EC3. Like, you know, in my mind, Triple H has these songs that are sent to him by CFOs or whoever else.
Oh, well, he referred to himself as the 1%.
I know. What I'm saying is maybe that gimmick is inspired by the song and not vice versa.
Oh, well, he had the gimmick before in Impact.
Oh, then never mind.
One of his finishers was called the 1%.
Oh, okay. Then,
so that was kind of his thing before him.
Oh, sorry. Then I didn't know that. So yeah, you're right.
I don't expect you to know anything about Impact, man. Look, if I didn't randomly decide to start reviewing it for a couple weeks.
You wouldn't know anything
about it. I would have known it either. So it's okay. Not giving you shit.
So EC3 comes out and says, how nice of you to give me a belt on my first night here.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Just can't touch it. Just touch your laptop or this thing. Just don't press any buttons. But he dropped a decent enough promo. He was singing along to a song a little bit.
Uh-huh.
He seemed a little nervous.
Yeah.
His suit was pretty tight.
He was way too orange, and his suit was way too tight. That being said, EC3 looked like he was having a blast.
Yeah.
He looked like he was thinking to himself, oh my God.
I am so happy I'm here.
I am going to get a regular paycheck. There's an upside to all this because I'm like the definition of a Vince guy.
Well, that's the upside. He's not an Impact anymore.
And he's not an Impact anymore. So he just looked very, very happy.
Yeah.
He looked very, very happy. And yeah, but he was very orange. And he had a very tight suit on.
He seemed hot.
And he did seem hot, man.
But that could be nerves.
Oh, I think it is. I think he's just super happy. Like, yeah, it's so nice to see that, especially given how he left the WWE, how he got cut, because people, you know, like there was a change of a regime change in his words.
Yeah.
That really didn't see it in him. But I'm really happy that he's back. I think he's fantastic.
Yes. And so Regal announces, oh, you'll get your shot at this North American title. We're going to have a ladder match at TakeOver New Orleans, six men.
Yeah.
And he's in the match. He's competitor number one.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And as we'll learn through the rest of this episode, who the other five competitors were going to be.
Yeah. So anyways, next up. Here's the thing too. I like how EC3, he seems like part of his gimmick is just, I don't know. When he finished things off, he had his mic And he very he like bent down and he just put it
well,
down.
Well, also
the thing.
Too,
he's when, very professional.
Yes, but also too, at the end when Regal presented him with the opportunity, he just said in like the cadence of the crowd chanting, "Thank you, Regal."
He's like a more mischievous version of Bobby Roode when
yes.
he came to NXT.
Yes,
and I like that. He's
yes.
like Dennis the Menace, but Bobby Roode.
Yes.
Anyways,
next we had a TM61 interview at Performance Center, so they're talking and Shayna Baszler's in the background arguing with somebody.
It was Serena Deeb.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I like it because like the entire time, of course, you're not paying attention to word one of TM61,
which is a bummer
because they kind of need to say stuff. And then because you've got Shayna Baszler mixing it up with Serena Deeb in the background.
And so the Ember Moon comes into frame.
And then immediately the camera guy says, okay, I don't care.
And they run around the corner through a door. And by that point, Shayna and Ember have come to blows.
Yeah.
They're fighting.
Yeah.
So they brawl in the Performance Center. And I kind of, I don't remember anything TM61 had to say, and it bums me out.
I know, me too. I mean, I think they intentionally didn't say anything interesting.
Yeah,
because
be.
We're supposed to be watching.
I like these kind of segments, though. Where
I like it. Yeah, I like it a lot.
There's something in the foreground that something happens in the background that catches your eye and catches the cameraman's eye and go pay attention. In terms of the production of the show, it's interesting. I just feel bad for TM61 in this instance.
No, I mean, at least it was them and not like, you know, heavy machinery.
Yeah.
That's how I would really like main roster to do their some backstage storytelling stuff.
Yeah, it feels more organic.
I'd really like them to adopt. Next up, we had, again, like these matches are nothing.
Yeah, this is incredibly short. Street Profits versus Authors of Pain, semifinals for the Dusty Classic.
The problem is we're in the middle of the Dusty Classic, and it just is a big sort of magnifying glass, if you will, as to how... It's kind of not great, the NXT tag team division.
Well, I think
it would
feel more important if the matches were good consistently. Like if every tag team stepped up into their match thinking, okay, it's an honor to win this tournament, so I'm going to do my absolute damnedest to win it, and yet incredible match after incredible match after incredible match.
But okay, here's the thing, though, dude. Don't you think that's more of a reflection on how bad the division kind of is? Think about it. You got Riddick.
I don't think the division is that bad at the top, at least. You have Authors of Pain, you have Sanity, you have now Roderick Strong and
Authors
Pete Dunne.
Authors of Pain are not great wrestlers.
No, but if
they need really good opponents to
do
something.
They do, and they probably will in the finals. TM61's really good. Street Profits have a lot of promise. They're entertaining.
Okay, that's the thing. Street Profits aren't going to be able to put on a great match. And on top of that, What's-His-Face is injured. And that's why he didn't wrestle last night.
Oh, Montez is injured?
Yeah.
Right.
Which, I mean, you can't do anything about.
No, you can't do much about that.
But like...
Also, Mustache Mountain is.
I don't know.
Don't
know if Tyler Bate actually was injured. If he wasn't, why didn't they? I get the story. Why were they the ones that? Why did TM61 bow out in the first round?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
They're the best tag team. The best actual tag team they have.
Yeah,
and they bowed out in the first round.
Doesn't make any sense.
You need them to go on a little bit more to have some fantastic matches.
Yeah.
But there's Heavy Machinery's not going to be put on any great matches.
No. But there's like six good to really good teams or promising teams.
Yeah,
there's six teams of
consequence. But promising doesn't. I don't. They're not good now. None of them are better. None of them are better as an actual tag team than Mustache Mountain, with the exception of TM61.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And although after last night's match, Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, they have potential to get there. Sanity, they're just a step behind. Because they're not necessarily as well versed in tagging with each other as the other teams are.
Right, but you see my point, though.
No, I do, but I don't think it's necessarily a reflection of a lack of quality in the tag division. Because I think there's quality teams. I just think it's uninspired booking.
You really think so?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I'm not sure half the teams you mentioned can be brought to a really good match. Heavy Machinery?
I didn't mention Heavy Machinery. I mentioned Street Profits as a promising team.
I'm mentioning them. Heavy Machinery, Street Profits.
Sanity can put on good matches. TM61 can put on good matches.
Promising is not, they can put on a good match now.
I'm saying Sanity can put on a good match right now.
Yeah, they can.
TM61 can put on good matches. Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne can put on good matches.
Yeah, but they're new as a tag team.
I understand that. That's part of their story.
Yeah.
Authors of Pain with the right opponents could put on good matches.
Right, but...
because we've seen it.
Yeah.
That's four teams have that can put on good matches. And that's not including Mustache Mountain.
That's like, it's basically two. It's TM61 and Mustache Mountain.
But how many tag teams on either Raw or SmackDown can you count as consistently putting on great matches? On SmackDown, it's New Day and Usos. Gable and Benjamin.
Dude, that's look, I'm not saying that main roster is any better because Braun Strowman is taking on T-Bar for the tag team titles. So they're crap too. Maybe it's a whole entire problem with the tag team division. They need to bring in more guys like TM61. They need to bring in more guys like Mustache Mountain, but they don't even feature Mustache Mountain hardly ever.
Well, yeah, basically never.
There is a massive problem with the tag team division in the WWE.
I guess they've gotten used to the situation as it is. Anyway, Street Profits.
Give me Killer Elite
Authors
Squad.
Of Pain. Authors of Pain.
The Gorillas of Destiny.
Yeah, they're well. I don't think God is going anywhere anytime soon. Montez Ford really didn't wrestle a whole lot. I didn't know or had forgotten that he was injured. But he goes outside. Offers.
You know what they should have done. They should have had instead of just making it for a title shot. Even though Bobby Fish is hurt, should have had Reed Dragon in the Dusty Classic. Mm-hmm. Have that be a separate thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would add an actual tag team who knows how to put on a great match.
Yeah.
But Bobby Fish is hurt. So
hurt. Yeah, it's not going to happen. So Montez Ford offers Paul Ellering his solo cup to take a drink. And instead, Paul Ellering slaps it out of his hand.
Well, yeah.
Knocks it to the floor. Montez Ford instantly gets incredibly angry. This serves as a distraction to Angelo Dawkins.
He starts walking down the old man.
Yeah. Angelo Dawkins is distracted. Authors of Pain take advantage. Hit him with the last chapter. Pick up the win.
Dawkins, even if he wasn't distracted, he has two giant men that is about to do their finisher on him.
I know.
So, yeah. So here's the thing about Street Profits. They are wildly entertaining. I really do hope that over the next year, we get the story of them wisening up a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Montez Ford is, and he's hilarious to watch. He literally doesn't, he looks like a cartoon when he does his goof, like when he was like running around the ring and his goofy weird thing. He looked like a cartoon. They need to learn how to like focus. It needs to be the same kind of Almas story that we got.
Yeah.
Stop partying so much and focus. Montez, stop jacking around.
Yes.
And maybe focus on the match at hand.
Yes.
That would be a good story for
them.
And
I thought that's...
They better not call them up to SmackDown like, you know, after Money in the Bank or something, you know?
Because when they went up to Regal after winning a few matches and said, hey, this will be our year. We want to shot Authors of Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And Regal gave them that match and then they lost. That's what I was hoping their storyline would be.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Is that they'd say, okay, there's a time and place to have fun. There's also a time and place to be... serious.
Yeah, I forgot. Karen brought up Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. That could be a killer tag team.
Yeah.
Focus on them more. Out in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with them. The crowd was really behind them. Anyway, so the Authors of Pain advance to the finals of the Dusty Tag Team Classic. Next, Kathy Kelly finds William Regal coming out of his office. He says, I've found the second competitor for this ladder match, Adam Cole, baby.
Yeah, and then just lurking there was the
Velveteen Dream.
I marked out because I love him.
Yeah, he's great. He says, yeah, you have this match, but let's make it an experience. Mm-hmm. Put me in it.
Yeah.
Regal says, you got it.
He said, you've been very impressive since your debut here in NXT. So therefore, you are in the match for the NXT North. That is a mouthful. NXT North American Championship.
And I think Velveteen Dream had to reference the groundbreaking nature of this title as well, at least twice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know why they were forcing the groundbreaking thing.
It's really not. It was a mid-card title.
I know.
And he said, Mr. Regal, you have set the stage. And then he walked on. It was great. I love the Dream. Hope he wins it. Probably not going to. Early prediction, Larson. Who's going to win this thing?
I was thinking about that, and it seems like Lars...
Any answer that isn't Adam Cole is incorrect.
Yeah, it's probably Adam Cole.
Got to be Adam Cole.
It's either Adam Cole or EC3. Because I feel like it's going to be Ricochet and Velveteen Dream leaving that match with a feud.
Okay,
as
sure.
Well as they already set up Lars, Killian Day, and their match next week, we'll get to that,
okay,
is going to end in a brawl.
Okay.
No winner. So after the ladder match, we're going to get Lars, Killian Dane feud. Mm-hmm. So that leaves Adam Cole and EC3.
Okay. Speaking of Lars Sullivan, he took on Lil Jon Silver.
Yeah.
Oh,
not much
dear.
Of a match. He just threw him around all over the place.
I know, exactly. Like... So I like these kind of matches. They're fun, but I just feel like there's too much tomfoolery in this episode in terms of the wrestling.
Yeah. Well, I think they realize there's all these story beats they have to hit with just a week before TakeOver, so there's a lot of talky bits.
I mean, the Gargano Ciampa stuff was literally just done this week on Twitter through
mm-hmm.
videos.
Mm-hmm. So Lars picked up the win with a freak accident. After the match, we get another William Regal interview. He runs into Lars backstage. He says, you're in the ladder match. Lars says, great. But I want Killian Dane.
Uh-huh.
And Regal says, you're in luck. Killian Dane is in ladder match 2. But You can have him next week. Match between Killian Dane and Lars Sullivan, which will end in a brawl. No winner.
Yeah.
Taking that heat into ladder match. Neither of them win ladder match. They feud afterwards.
Yeah.
Next, Dakota Kai comes out for a match against somebody, but we never find out who because Andrade Cien Almas beats the heck out of Aleister Black in the parking lot.
What was with Dakota Kai's denim jacket?
Oh, I don't know.
I think she's great. I just don't like some of her little mannerisms, like this thing right here. I'm not huge on that. I don't like it. What is this?
I don't know. It's fine.
It's spring-loaded.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You're really picking out details today.
No, because I like a lot of other stuff. I know, but details are the fun part of this.
I like the denim jacket.
These are the two shows that I actually pay attention to.
What if she had, metal band patches on it? Would you like it then?
No. Who's the British wrestler who had the denim jacket? Remember?
Oh, James Drake.
Thank you for knowing his name. It's so ugly because it's so big.
Yeah, it didn't work for James Drake, but I didn't mind it so
much. Weren't his sleeves rolled up
or
something?
Yeah, I didn't mind it for Dakota Kai.
That's horrible. She has a great look, though.
Yeah.
She's cute as heck, and I think she's going to go for it. That personality is everything.
Yeah, she's got a ton of personality.
So much personality.
Yeah. Anyways, no match happened because Andrade Almas, who apparently already beat Aleister Black so much, he ripped all his clothes.
And I do love her kicks.
Or did Aleister Black turn into the Hulk?
I'm pretty sure it was Aleister Black turning into the Hulk.
And then
he's going to debut that at the next takeover.
Yeah, that must be what it is. So Almas continues the attack out to the ring, beats him up some more, hits him with
a
chair.
The thing that I loved about the tears is that they're so unnatural. They're all
No, it's obvious. Scissors.
Scissors.
Or start the scissor and the rip.
Exactly, yeah.
They're all so linear.
Yeah. Exactly.
He hits Aleister Black with a chair, poses over him with the title.
Man, he blasts him with that chair, too.
Man.
He blasts him. Is this... So I wonder what's the go-home segment going to be for this match? Because this felt like it was the go-home segment.
Yeah, I think it might be. They have one more episode, but they don't really have to...
They don't have to do anything.
No.
Though they can have a video package.
Yeah.
I would imagine the go-home segment's probably going to involve the groundbreaking NXT North American Championship ladder match.
Six-man ladder match. Next, Sanity versus Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne. This is fun.
Yeah, this was fun. I mean, you know, I like the story of... I wish there was more of kind of a story with Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne, because I feel like...
Other than rivals who become partners.
Yeah, because it's not... That's not even really... I mean, that's how it was set up. That's how it was set up.
So it's just they had one match.
Right, they had a match. Roderick Strong lost. He said, I want to get that back.
There was some sort of mutual respect forged during that match.
Yeah. I want to see a little bit more character interaction to understand what their strengths are, what their weaknesses are, what we have to think about going into
the
finals.
Them learning to adapt to each other as partners, yes.
Yeah, because their teamwork seems to be actually really, really good.
I know.
They already have a strong tag chemistry. Yeah.
I mean, they already adapted their finishers into a tag team finisher. They won with it. I think Pete Dunne called it the bitter end of heartache, which is...
That is remarkably good.
Pete Dunne's bitter end.
I know.
Roderick Strong's end of heartache. I know.
Ridiculously well.
I know. It's easy.
Wow.
Yeah, Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong won. Pete Dunne pinned Eric Young after hitting bitter end of heartache.
Bitter end of heartache.
But it was a fun match, hard hitting. Pretty much what you'd expect from a match amongst these four individuals.
No, it was cool. It was good.
Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne advanced to the finals of the Dusty Classic. They would be taking on Authors of Pain next week.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the main event of the show. The main event of the show was one last William Regal interview where Kathy Kelly wants to know who the sixth competitor and the six-man ladder match determined the very first North America champion.
I'm very glad you asked me that. He's actually in the office right now. I'll get him for you. And then he goes in, then out comes Ricochet.
Oh, man. Crowd popped. I popped.
Big pop.
Looking like $1 million in a great suit.
Oh, it was fantastic. And he
just says, I'll see you at TakeOver.
See you at TakeOver. And then went off.
Oh,
he did
awesome.
He did the wink.
Oh, it was so awesome.
Yeah, it was great. Sad for me. I spoiled it for myself on Twitter beforehand. I really need to stay off Twitter on Wednesdays, when NXT starts.
Mm.
It was really cool, though. Freaking Ricochet,
man.
That
was great.
Oh, my God.
He's going to go far.
He's going to go so far. Easily.
Huge star.
Easily a contender for the 205 Live title. I can't wait to see him wrestle in front of a dead crowd of 400 people in a 15,000-seater arena. That's going to be great. Where's Leo Rush, man? Can we just get the Leo Rush versus Ricochet now?
Yeah, that'd be great.
What's going on with that?
All right, you want to answer some questions, Steve?
Yeah, might as well.
That's what we're here for.
Man, I'm all self-conscious now because I think my mic for the first 20 minutes might have been crap. Why wasn't it popping during the flipping pre-show, man? That's what the pre-show is for, to get the kinks out.
Yeah. Oh, he had plenty of other issues during the pre-show. Maybe no one noticed.
Just actually streaming was a problem during the pre-show.
Yes, apparently. Top-notch Super B Slow Wolf with rumors of a Cruiserweight Tag Team Championship. WWE is looking to add two additional titles to 205 Live. What should the titles be? Okay, so they're having a Tag Team Championship, but they also, he's asking, they want additional titles for 205 Live. At that point, pretty much everybody will have a title.
Yeah, pretty much. If they could add two additional titles, what would it be? I don't. They don't need a mid-card title.
I like the story that everybody just wants the main title.
Yeah, I know, me too. Because they have enough people for one title.
Yes.
You know, they should, honestly, they should do. I'm not sure how they would do this exactly in terms of, like, making a new weight limit or something. But they have so many women signed from the Mae Young Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Bring some of them that, like, are more high flyers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Something like that.
How about this? Do their own kind of best of the Super Juniors type thing. Just have a yearly Cruiserweight Classic. Have a tournament.
A cup.
Yeah, a cup. And then that person who wins the tournament gets a title shot.
I like that.
That way it's all about competition. And everybody loves tournaments.
Yeah, everybody loves tournaments.
Tournaments are great.
Yeah, tournaments are great.
The Draft Master, Robert Chacone. So considering the rumor that there's going to be 205 Live tag teams, Power Rank. Is this working?
I don't know. Probably not.
No.
Really? That's weird. Should.
Not.
Why would that not work?
I don't know. This whole setup is just
this one work? That works.
On the verge of failure, I feel
that
like.
That works too.
Power Rank tag teams you want to see on 205 Live. And who you want on the roster to bolster them up.
The shirt one doesn't work either. That's like the big shirt.
I don't know, man. Anyways.
What now?
205 Live tag teams. Obviously, Lucha House Party. They're great. Tozawa and Hitami have been good so far.
Yeah.
Who else?
Jack Gallagher and Noam Dar.
That'd be good.
I want to see that.
Mark Andrews and Tyler Bate.
No, man. Tyler Bate's already in a tag team. He can't be doing that. Trent Seven. How about they do the thing where he like weighs in every week and like they find new ways of him cheating the weigh-ins?
There you go. He finds a way to only put one foot on the scale.
Right, exactly.
Who could TJP tag with? I really liked his nonchalance yesterday.
He was great.
Yeah, man.
The part where the kickoff the match, everybody was outside of the ring and he was trying to get shots in and he was like, all right, well.
He just sits in the middle of the ring and starts talking to himself. Yeah. It was great.
Boy, that was a great match.
Even that little bit backstage where he's sitting on the stairs drinking something, derping on his phone.
Mm-hmm.
That was great.
Yeah.
Totally didn't answer Robert Chacon's question.
No, we did. We put together some good tag teams.
Okay. Booby Booby Bum Bum. Where does the Cruiserweight title match rank on your list of most anticipated matches for Mania? It's up there. It's top three. Maybe top four.
There's a lot of good matches.
I think.
So my most anticipated, of course, is AJ Styles versus Nakamura. My second most anticipated is...
My most anticipated might be the Intercontinental title match.
Oh, that's number two for me.
And then it might be AJ Nakamura, then Charlotte, Asuka, and then maybe the Cruiserweight match.
And then, yeah, still top four.
Baron the Cat Taxidermist. So Baron Corbin, another life, was a cat taxidermist. Hey. Name some other not so mainstream professions you feel certain NXT superstars may have had / would fit the role. For example, he says No Way Jose as a Zumba instructor.
Oh, that's really obvious. That's great though. Philly Flexer says Adam Cole's inspirational speaker. Adam Cole could be like the Tom Cruise character from Magnolia. That's him. He said some very vulgar things. Yeah, because that was Adam Cole's thing. That's my deal, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Aleister Black could be some sort of like alternative medicine practitioner.
Yeah. Pete Dunne could have, I feel like he, I don't know, all those great, he could have been a Guy Ritchie character, like a Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels character.
Okay.
Like street con man.
All right.
Slash
I was wondering
guy.
Where you get to the profession part. This is all about professions.
Yeah, profession.
Not movie archetype.
Professional confidence man.
All right.
You're a flim-flam man.
Yeah, that's good.
Braun Strowman. I don't know. Have you seen his Instagram stuff where he's shooting guns a lot?
No.
He loves shooting guns.
Mm.
So maybe some sort of gun retailer.
All right.
I don't know. Oh, man.
Mayor of Planet Houston, Larson once compared NXT to minor league baseball, so gave me an idea. I'm interested to hear what you think about it. What if instead of just one promotion like NXT, the WWE bought a couple of indie promotions or just the taping rights with minor oversight and aired them on a network alongside NXT and maybe share takeovers, and then when they are ready, they could be called up to the main roster. What do you guys think?
So there was rumors that they were going to start airing Progress and like ICW
right?
on the network, and I always thought that was a great idea. I love the idea. I always thought that they could either go that route or, you know, establish their own shows like the UK show, mm-hmm. a women's specific show, mm-hmm. And use those as territories and then call people along with 205 Live and call people up from those programs.
Yeah.
I always thought it was a good idea.
Bronze Grappling Hook, who in NXT do you see a small ceiling for on the main roster? He says he just can't see Ohno or Almas being huge on main.
I so you've said this before about Almas. It kind of concerns you. You're not sure exactly how high he could go.
I think more so just because of creative.
Yeah, I know.
As opposed to his abilities.
No, I know. I mean, Ohno needs to. They need to be doing something with him on NXT.
I'm not
even sure he's going to make his way to
the
main roster.
I mean, Ohno is. You know, he's up there in terms of quality wrestler with Cesaro and stuff. He can get himself over based on the matches he can put on.
I know.
And he's a better talker.
I know.
Than Cesaro is. If he had stuck around in 2013 and hadn't left, you know, I don't know if I want to say sky's the limit, but he had a wealth of potential.
They seemed to really be pushing him quite a bit back then, too. Mm-hmm. Like on NXT, he was all over
the
place.
But just now he's pushing 40. I don't know what their expectations are for him.
Right, exactly. Which is a complete shame because he's fantastic.
Robert, we
have him facing Roman Reigns in our WrestleMania.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Robert Shaw's personal fishing line tester. Power Rank NXT superstars most likely to debut on the main roster on Raw, SmackDown after Mania. Authors of Pain. They need to, man.
Just go.
Yeah, they've already done everything they can do in NXT.
And then you always say sanity as well. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
It's funny, man. The best thing about NXT is... things tend not to get stale.
Mm-hmm.
So when they do get stale, it is amplified.
Yeah, and authors can feel a little stale.
Yeah, more than a little bit, yeah. They feel stale. Sanity starts to feel stale.
Iconic Duo. They need to get called up,
Oh, my God, too. Yeah. They need to be called up. Like, even Ember Moon's starting to feel a little stale because of all the great talent they have there.
Regular Trevor. I don't know what I'm more excited for, EC3 or for Pete Dunne to be holding two belts in his mouth. That'd be cool. Pete Dunne gets the tag belt.
The way he's the unified Western Hemisphere title. Yeah, that'd be good. Bronze Grappling Hook. Do you think people are putting Triple H on too high of a pedestal when it comes to him taking control of the company? If we expect too much, then no matter what he does, the crowd will look down on it because expectations are too high. I'm not sure that's the case. I think that people want competent booking, and I think the assumption is because NXT has some really strong, competent booking, that we'll just get that on the main roster, which, you know, I'm sure with some people expectations are too high, but, you know, I think there are things like, oh, well, when Vince goes and Triple H takes over, Roman's immediately going to get de-pushed, which I think is BS.
Yeah. Keegan Green, will Gargano versus Ciampa main event take over New Orleans? Good.
Probably won't. But it could, but I don't think it will.
NXT title match?
Will? Yeah, Almas wants his face.
There's been times where the title hasn't been the main event, though. They might think that match is just...
Was the title defended at War Games? Who was the title holder at War Games?
It would have been...
Was that the...
I don't think it was.
War Games... Takeover War Games.
There's actually two matches I could do. I guess the North American Championship match.
Okay, so the
event.
War Games match was the main event, and that was the match where Almas beat Drew McIntyre.
Oh, yeah.
So the precedent is there for like, but I mean, that literally the name of that freaking
War
thing.
But
was
also
War
when
Game.
DIY took on Authors of Pain, that ladder
That's
match.
That's right, the
that
tag team
event.
Title, yeah.
That was the main event.
That's right.
And not the NXT title match, so it's happened before.
Let's see here. The one before that.
You could say Gargano Ciampa is a legit contender for main event, but also the ladder match maybe too. Since it's the
oh, that's a good point.
Crowning a new champion.
Well, they are breaking ground with a new title.
Yeah, what better way to break ground than have it main event?
Yeah, there's a couple main event possibilities there, huh?
And that's why the card is so stacked, because it's, every match could, in theory, be a main event.
Right.
Stacked card.
I mean, so generally it's the NXT title.
Yeah, generally it is.
But yeah, you're right. That tag team ladder match was the main event at that point. Yeah. But before then, it was a whole lot of NXT title matches.
Michael Lent. If Paul Ellering isn't going to go with AOP when they're called up, power rank, what superstars or tag team he should manage next?
Oh, if he stays in NXT? Well, that's a great question.
I mean,
it's probably not going to happen, but that's not the question.
No, I know. And I'd be surprised. I don't even know if I would like it, because it seemed special when he came and did it. It made Authors of Pain feel important.
Oh, I wouldn't like it. I agree with you. I wouldn't want it.
You know, it makes harkens back to Road Warriors.
Yeah.
His days managing them and how dominant they were.
What if they repackaged...
Heavy Machinery?
No. That's like you saying Push Hilton. What if they repackaged... I'll touch my feet. The Brazilian guys, Cesar Bononi, and I forget the other guy's name. They repackaged them for their, like, you know, ready for TV type thing, and put Ellering with them. That could be cool. They have a great look to them.
Mm.
What about the Ely brothers?
All right.
Really?
Sure.
Yeah. All right. I think that'd be way too close to Authors of Pain. It's two guys that look exactly like each other.
Larson, too sweet me. Sorry. Hey, Steve, we all know Vince likes his wrestlers big, tall, and muscular, and hates certain bodies on TV, so I'm fearful of how that he'll treat Killian Dane, given he isn't Vince big and hairy. Do you think he'll take one look at him and have him put on clothes and just not push him? Will he be a star going to Maine, or will he receive the call-up curse?
Nah, man, he's huge. He's a monster. Vince loves monsters.
But also
monsters.
He's super athletic.
Yeah, Vince loves monsters. Absolutely not.
He'll be fine.
Look at the 80s. Look at how many big, hairy dudes there were in the 80s that weren't necessarily on steroids. So, no, he'll get lots of love, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Look at him. He's so big and hairy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, look at this guy. Tell me he can't beat up. He looks like he could really beat up people dead.
Liam Wagner, you've been chosen to participate in an experiment that can genetically modify you into the greatest pro wrestler ever. You get to choose your height, weight class, face, hair, facial hair, abs. You get to create a character, pretty much. What current or past wrestlers would you pick from their body to make you into the greatest pro wrestler of all time?
Wait, so this is...
You get to construct Frankenstein style yourself out of the body parts of other wrestlers.
How about this? Adam Cole's torso, but Braun Strowman's legs and arms.
Right.
No, how about this? Adam Cole's torso... I'm just making a ridiculous character. Adam Cole's torso.
Okay.
Tyler Bates' legs, which are short, short but super thick.
Adam Cole's got pretty thick legs too.
And then, yeah, but not Tyler Bates.
No, I know.
And he's taller. And Braun Strowman's giant arms.
All right.
So that his fingers are like touching the ground.
All right.
When he's walking. But then, whose head would I use? And Paul Bearer's head.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say it. For head, specifically face, Jinder Mahal.
That's good.
Jinder has a great face.
This is the best
facial
face.
Expression.
It's the best face. Oh, that'd be great.
I like his hair. I'll
it's
keep
like
his
a
hair.
Ren and Stimpy character.
I'll keep his hair.
Okay.
Torso. Give me bronze torso.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I want whose arms? Give me Adam Cole's arms.
Okay, all right.
And then legs. Dean Ambrose's legs.
Oh, that's good. I like all those answers. They're all great. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, we should probably open these up.
Oh, yeah.
Just to get them out of the way. So we were in Long Beach for Strong Style Evolved. You guys probably know that.
Yeah.
And we met up there with James from Couch Hop,
mm-hmm.
of course.
Mm-hmm.
Our Going In Raw New Japan consultant.
Yes.
And he got us some gifts.
He did get us some gifts, yes.
So we were waiting for a proper place in our programming schedule to properly bury.
I think there's really a proper
to
place.
To bury there. These gifts.
Yeah.
And I figure NXT episode, it's kind of our least watched recap. It does pretty well, but
yeah.
You know, we're sort of towards the end of the episode. We've already done questions. We're about 4 minutes away from ending the episode. So we're going to debut these gifts that James got us.
Let's start with these.
And here's the thing. He's a friend, so we have to, like, utilize these gifts.
I know. I can't say I'm that excited about it, though.
Me neither. But, I mean, it also gives us the impetus to, we have to get him something horrible to wear.
So first, we have a Cass, what do you call this?
A doll.
Yeah, a Cass doll. It was like a stuffed Cass, but that makes it sound like it's Baron the Cat taxidermist. Right. Weird.
Well, which is fine. He's clear to return. It's big Cass.
And then there's this guy. And there's these.
It gets worse. He got us these two.
The one and only time ever put them on.
This is the only time I'll ever use this. And the only reason I'm doing it is because James is a friend.
Yes.
It's like for kids, too.
Oh, this is not going to fit in my head, then. I have a giant head.
Well, me too, man. I know. I feel gross right now. So anyways, thanks you, James.
Thanks, James.
We're going to find something great for you, too, to wear.
Clean fit.
I feel so gross right now. Anyways, let's get some music. Let's see if this works. Oh, that worked. Thanks for watching, everybody. Till next time, I'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.